If you have your Bibles handy, I would like you to turn to the book of Romans, Romans 3. Romans 3, and we're going to read verses 9 through 20. Romans 3, verses 9 to 20. If you don't have your Bible handy, that's fine. Please listen carefully, because the message I have for you today is based on the Word of God as taken out of Romans 9, 3 to 20. Or pardon me, Romans 3. I'll get that in a minute. Romans 3, verses 9 to 20. Okay, let us begin. It's the subtitle here is The World Guilty Before God. Now, that's not the title of my message, which I'll give in a moment. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used, with their tongues rather, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And finally, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Have you got that? That's important. Keep that in the back of your mind. All right, now just when you think you've turned the corner as a Christian, whammo, somebody breaks out Romans 3 and makes you feel like crawling under a rock. Well, if that's the way you feel, there's only one cure, one cure. Make sure that the rock you crawl under is none other than Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Wow. Okay, I've titled my message today appropriately, Without Excuse. Without Excuse. Let's have a short word of prayer and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving me this another opportunity to bring forth your word, Lord. I pray that the listener, Lord God, would have their ears unstopped and hear everything that is said. And when all is said and done, Lord, may we be a little bit wiser, if not a whole lot. And Lord, may you be glorified. And may Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, be lifted up. In his name, his holy and righteous name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, how often have we subconsciously boasted of how little we sin. How little we sin, if we sin at all. If we sin at all, not knowing, of course, that we sin without even realizing it at times. Compared to our peers, that is. Compared to other people. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, no, not me. Or, now, that's what they call, I guess, a cardinal sin. A cardinal sin, you say. Are you referring to the Pope's underlings? I mean, when I was a Catholic, the worst sins imaginable were called cardinal sins. I imagine, well, this meant sins that only a cardinal will make. But now that I'm a Christian and no longer a Catholic, all I can say is, well, don't blame it on the birds. If you need to pin your sin on anybody, then take a good, strong look in that mirror. Oh, yes. But if you wish to place the blame scripturally, then, well, Adam and Eve might be a good choice. When the First Lady, under the direction of Satan, alias Lucifer, spoke those infamous words, "Yea, hath God said," that's when sin became public. That old devil said to Eve, as she was about to eat of the forbidden fruit, and she wasn't sure. She thought it might be sin. Oh, and he puts doubt in her mind, as he puts doubt in the minds of everyone. Yes, me too, all of us. Sometimes there is doubt, and the devil wants us to have that doubt, because having doubt gives us a certain amount of freedom to glean both ways, to be unsure. But when we're unsure, is it not better to find out before you open your mouth, or before you go there to the left or there to the right? Is it not? "Yea, hath God said." I'm going to pick a bit more on Catholicism, since I was for many years forced, and I mean forced, to participate in this abominable religion. I can only thank God that he spared me and led me out of the harlot of harlots. However, I do recall, oh yes I do, how the priests tried to equate sin with Catholic protocol. Oh, and did they do a number on it? For example, we as Catholics, we were allowed to partake of any kind of liquor, but only in moderation. I guess this was in case you had an accident on your way home, eh? It would only be in moderation. Did you ever hear of an accident in moderation? I don't think I have. Have you ever met a moderate drunk? Oh. And that's what I used to be before I came to Christ, a moderate drunk. And when it came to stealing, well, don't steal more than $20 a week. And never, never steal from inside the church. In other words, don't rob the silver coinage immersed in the water of the grotto, especially with Mary looking on. Well, as for lying, you know, lying, never, never lie to a priest. and especially in the confessional, where you're just going to want to play things down a little bit. You don't want those big cardinal sins, do you? Well, if you do, well, you're looking at an additional. If you lie to a priest in the confessionals, you know, after you finish confession, you go out into your pew and you kneel and you have to say the number of Hail Marys, Our Fathers, Act of Contritions that the priest has ordered you to do in order to fulfill the forgiveness of your sins. Because if you lie to a priest, you're looking at an additional 20 Hail Marys or more, plus about 20 Glory Bees, and a massive run on the act of contrition. To say nothing about the fact when your parents find out, wow, you're subject to countless clouts up the side of the head. There you go. Cursing or swearing was permissible, but only when condemning the devil's ways. As for the Word of God, well, the King James Version was used, but only in part. As the other manuscripts promoting Mary and the long list of carnal saints, the carnal saints of Catholicism took precedent. Today, well, much of their own doctrine is superimposed over that of God. That's right. Most of their own doctrine in Catholicism is superimposed over the Word of God. Enough said about that. Moving on. We do have to move on, don't we? Speaking about Catholicism can be boring. I know. I've been in it for many years. I had been in it for many years. Anyway, moving on to more relative matters. The great book of Romans, by the way, I'm talking about the King James Authorized Version 1611, which I believe to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of Almighty God. And no other version can compare to it. Because it is simply, and I'll borrow this phrase, sinking sand. But the King James 1611 plainly informs us that we are all, and I say all, we are all guilty before God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. Not the Pope, not the bum on the street, not you, not me, none righteous. When we were born, well, it just so happened that ugly old sin was waiting for us just outside our mother's womb. There it was. Come on to me, little one. We didn't have to think bad. We didn't have to see bad. We didn't have to sleep or dream bad, nor did we have to talk bad. No. We were simply born bad, filled with the stain of natural sin that came from the garden through Adam and Eve. Filled with the stain of natural sin. And until we reached the age of accountability and knew and understood right from wrong in the eyes of God, praise His holy name, we were under a protective blanket of forgiveness until we knew what sin was. The mercy of God was our comforter. Praise His holy name. Praise be to God. In Romans chapter 3, under the heading, The World Guilty Before God, which we read at the outset, verse 9, we're going to go through it in a little slower fashion so we can understand exactly where we stand before God. Verse 9, What then? Are we better than they? We're talking about those under the law, right? No. No, we're not better than them in no wise. For we have before proved the both the Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Got that? All under sin. And with the sin comes what? What is it? What comes with sin? Judgment. If you read Galatians 3:22, you'll see it. Verse 20 says, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Do you think you're righteous? The Pope, I think he thinks he's righteous, doesn't he? Ooh, a lot of preachers out there think they're righteous. Ooh, do you think you're righteous in the eyes of God? Well, the Bible says not one of us is righteous. And verse 11 says, There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Ooh, powerful words. Powerful words that many choose to deny because they're enslaved by their ignorance and their pride. They're as the sand of the sea. Now, this is where a good Christian home with a family that really loves God can help. They're becoming rarer every day, but they're out there. They're out there. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now these are heavy words to lay on a confused soul, aren't they? However, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If you're not truly saved, then you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You might think you do, but you don't. Therefore, it is wise, as the Bible tells us, to examine yourself. Examine yourself. And know for sure you are truly in the faith, that you are saved, that you are a child of the King. And the Spirit of God will give you wisdom. Not so much worldly wisdom, but wisdom about the Word of God. What God is telling us. What God wants us to do, wants us to be. Then we have verse 13. Verse 13. Where things get a little, very personal. Their throat is an open sepulcher. A sepulcher, of course, is a grave. Can you imagine your throat being compared to a grave? A great gaping hole in the side of a hill or the ground. And look at verse 13, the last part of it, verse 13b. With their tongues they have used deceit. Deceit is lies, misgivings. The poison of asps under their lips is under their lips. An asp, you know what an asp is, eh? A-S-P is what? It's a deadly snake. And no good can come from it, of course. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Oh, wow. Can you bless with your mouth and curse inwardly? Well, you probably can. And verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Cursing and bitterness. You know, when I was in the military, I'm not going to draw this out, I'm just going to make it short. When I was in the military, all the guys, you know, around me, well, I was like them. They were like me, I guess, in certain ways, but not in every way. You see, what I found out was that like we were all young, eh? We were all teenagers when we joined the military, and we were in basic training. I mean, anything would go. We could do anything. You know, I don't mean we could do anything that was illegal. I mean, we could let it all hang out, so to speak. And cursing was foremost in our seeming lifestyle. I mean, our vocabulary was was something probably the devil was sitting back at saying, "Wee-hee, let it go, guys. You're sacrificing your life for your country. You have the right to curse and defile and do whatever you want." Ooh, is that right? I don't think so. But you know the F word, eh? I know guys, or I knew guys in the military, that would be absolutely, absolutely speechless if they couldn't use the F word. And when they did use it, they used it plenteous. And it didn't seem to fit in or make add any sense to what they were saying. I mean, sometimes you get angry and they use it, but not when you're just normally talking to somebody and you're not angry at all. Anyway, you get the picture, right? Now we move down to floor level. Floor level, verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. If we go quickly over to Isaiah 59, you don't have to turn there. Isaiah 59, I'll read verses 7 and 8 right from the Bible. Isaiah 59. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Verse 8. Pardon me, I started in verse 7, didn't I? Yes, it's okay. All right, yeah, verse 7. Verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Wow. All right, back to Romans. Romans 3:16 rhymes with John 3:16, doesn't it? The most important verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Anyway, Romans 3:16 reads, destruction and misery are in their ways. Now, I can only imagine. Sounds like the James Gang, doesn't it? Out on a big hoot, you know, after a drinking bash and firing into the air and anything that moved around them. Sounds just like the James. I don't know about you, but I can relate to all that's being said here. You know, in a way that's good if you've been there, if you've done it. Because you know what you're talking about. But many people in the world today, especially young people, they've not been there. They've not done it. And I'm not saying that you should to be wiser. No. I'm only wiser because of God's grace. But I'm not any better than you or them or anyone else in the world. No. I'm just another sinner. Saved by, you get it, grace. Saved by grace. Oh, verse 17, and the way of peace they have not known. Well, I don't wonder. Sounds like the Middle East as it is today. They wouldn't know peace, if it jumped up and bit them. You know, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And verse 19 is paramount. Paramount. Listen very carefully. Verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now, who's under the law? Are we under the law? We, the saints of God, the saved, are we under the law? No. No. We're under grace. Israel was under the law. Israel, the Jewish people. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, and this is very important, extra important, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The what? The knowledge of sin. Hang heavy on that word. That's why there is the law. That's why the law is in our Bible. To show us the knowledge of sin. And here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? How many did you say? All. All. You, me, him, her, them, us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, somebody once asked me, who sinned first? Was it Adam or was it Eve? Well, what does the Word of God say? Well, if we look in Genesis 3, verse 6, we read, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and what? Did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Was he influenced by Eve? Huh? Now, if we go all the way over to 1 Timothy 2:14, what do we read there? Well, and Adam, this is important now, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, now that would be Eve, being deceived was what? In the transgression. Adam wasn't deceived. So what's that tell you? He did it anyway. But why did he do it? Did he do it for Eve's sake? For his own sake? For God's sake? Well, you don't sin for God's sake. Anyway, from that day on, all mankind, women too, would be born with natural sin. That sin instinct would be in you. In the words of Brother David in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Was David saying that he was an illegitimate child born out of wedlock? Or was his mother a harlot? Huh? What was he saying? Now, somebody else asked me, well, let me explain. Since we are all born with a sin nature and our need of forgiveness, the Word of God is somewhat discreet when it comes to the age of accountability. We must ask ourselves, would a just and holy God, filled with compassion, send little children, or the mentally incompetent, for that matter, to hell? Would he? I would say no. What would you say? Have you ever thought about that? Now, the Bible is not overly clear on this issue, so I will tell you what I believe that I have gotten from the Word of God. And I can't tell you exactly where, because it was a long time ago, but it stayed within me, okay? What I believe is in the Word of God. Firstly, I must ask myself, can God be so cruel that he would kill little children, which he did, back in the Old Testament times, for a very good reason now, hang on, but can God be so cruel? Well, what we call cruel, in the eyes of God, is just, or justified. Now, you might say to yourself, well, just because he's God, does it give him a right to go around killing kids? You can ask yourself, but don't ask God, because you should know the answer to that. God can do whatever he wants. God can make a tree. He can tear down a tree. Now, we know that the Old Testament times, in the Old Testament times, God had entire villages or towns completely destroyed because of what? Because of sin. And this included children as well. Now, you may ask, was God really justified in such an action, especially against the children? Well, before you call God some sort of ogre, keep this in mind. Our God is a God, and this is ultra important, our God is a God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows what tomorrow is going to be like. He knows what the next century is going to be like. He knows what's coming down the road even before we see it. He knows. He knows what is coming in the future, whether it be tomorrow or 100 tomorrows. God knows. He's all-knowing. Concerning the total destruction of towns and villages or cities, God knew through his foreknowledge that all living things had to be destroyed before the town could be replenished. Thus, he was justified in doing what he did. Well, some of us may not find God's word very clear when it comes to children below the age of accountability going to heaven. If we look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, hopefully this will clear it up for you. David cries out to God because of the death of his child. In his lament, David speaks to God, and this is what he says. But now he is dead, referring to his baby. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? What's the point of fasting anymore, he's saying. Can I bring him back? Here's the answer right here. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David would go to where the baby was in heaven. Because David was a child of the king. Not initially, but when he became a child of the king, was under God's blessing. Then he could. I shall go to him. That's what he said. But he shall not return to me. Because once you're in glory, you're not going to come back here on this earth. Now, some people say, well, in the revelation, people come back. They come back with God. They come back with Jesus to observe. They don't come back and live again on this earth. When we are raptured out of here, we go into a place called the New Jerusalem. And we spend eternity there. Or we may go on various ventures with God, with Jesus. But that is our home. We don't come back here and live on the earth. There'll be people living on the earth, people who get saved during the tribulation. But not us who are in Christ, who are saved, who are taken out at the rapture, not us. Anyway, back to this verse. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not come return to me. This verse seems to indicate that children below the age of accountability do, in fact, go to heaven. They don't know. God's not, like I said, he's no ogre. And you're saying now, well, but then why did he kill those children? They couldn't do any harm. No, not while they were children. But don't forget, if their fathers and mothers and grandfathers, what have you, when they're gone out of this world and the children grow up in the, some would call it wisdom, in the knowledge of what their parents were, then what are they going to do? They're going to carry on the way their parents did or their grandparents did, right? So God, in his foreknowledge, knowing this, wiped out the complete city, town, village, whatever, so that that generation would be completely eradicated and then have to start over again from scratch. Okay? It's quite apparent that we don't all agree with God's ways. I do. Do you question God? Well, you're entitled to. But he knows. He gives you the answer to your question if you will but believe in him and trust in him. Well, perhaps if we did, if we did all agree with God's way, we'd find God's blessings more plentiful. Think on that. Never doubt God. God knows what he's doing. It's not holy, and neither is it righteous for us to accuse God of anything. Who do we think we are? God knows what he's doing and why he's doing what he does. No, in closing, so, what are we to believe? Believe what the Word of God tells you. Believe what the Word of God tells you. You see, God's Word is truth. It's truth. And it's the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that makes you free. Are you saved? Do you know for sure beyond any doubt that you're saved? You don't say, well, I'm not sure, but I got a good idea. That's not going to cut it with God. Examine yourself to see if you truly are in the faith. Have you repented? Have you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he went to Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood in an atonement for all the sin of the world? And that includes you, are you? My friends, if you're not absolutely sure of your salvation, I urge you, from the bottom of my heart, I even plead with you, get it taken care of today, because look what's going on out there in the world right now. Homosexuality, they call it gay, being gay. It's an abomination to God. Devil worship is on the increase. And so many other abominations that make God throw up. So please make sure and get away from that stuff, will you? It's going to do you no good but bring you harm and regret. Give your life over to Christ now. Please. I want to thank you for listening. May God bless you. Amen.